This is Roger Eel 3. Can you remember the names of the other two wrens, please?
Cameron and Esme Cameron, who is also a third officer, and Mara McKinley, who is also a third officer. And that was the three of us.
And were you all cipher workers, cipherines?
Yes.
Can you tell me about what you remember of that voyage in detail, please?
Well, nobody believed that Medway could get up and move off her pile of gin bottles, because she'd been there for most of the war before, you know, a couple of years, and so everybody said, oh, she'll never be able to get off her pile of gin bottles. But she did, she moved out, and we moved out, I suppose it must have been in the evening. It was still light as far as I remember. Moved out of harbour. And I don't remember anything about, we three were put into the hospital, the ship's hospital, sick bay.
Why was that?
Well, because there was nowhere else to put us.
Just for accommodation?
Hmm. It was very comfortable, actually, because it was a proper little, you know, sort of little hospital, and because they had a big crew, and the next morning we used to work two in the office and one off. Two of the wrens used to go together. Two of us. I don't know how we worked our watches. We didn't really work in naval watches at all. That particular bit of it, because it was only a night and a morning, because we were torpedoed just after breakfast. And I was off duty, and I'd gone out to sit in a, they had deck chairs long outside the wardroom, and I'd gone out to sit in the sun, because it was June? Yes, I think it was June.
Probably it was June. if it was that time when Rommel was advancing to Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. And everybody else, I don't think there was anybody else there. And there was a great thump. And I looked round, someone came out of the wardroom, and I said, what's that? Have we hit something? And the next thing was that I saw a great shower of stuff. Bits and pieces pouring down from the sky, and I said, what on earth is that? And whoever I was talking to said, oh, we've been hit by a torpedo. In fact, it was two torpedoes, I think. And one of them caught the torpedo flats, which of course is the biggest open space below decks in a depot in a submarine depot ship, because you've got the torpedoes laid out on
trellises.
Well, you know, the cross things, the
cradles.
Yes, and so that's why she went down fairly quickly, because there's a great hole in her And her torpedo. And the other one, I think, hit somewhere in the engine room. And it was extraordinary because when I see people on television in a crisis, they all seem to scream. But one's always so astonished in a crisis that there's absolutely no question of screaming. You just stand there and think, what the dickens is happening? And anyway, each one of us had been allocated, each one of the Wrens had been allocated a minder. And my minder turned up. It was the S-10s. I knew him quite well. We'd sailed together. And he came up, and I was saying, well, what the dickens is happening? He said, well, I said, if we've been torpedoed, I must go down and get my 21st birthday presents from the hospital. This is all I could think of.
What did they consist of?
Oh, I don't know. You know, my most precious one was from my grandparents, which was a Zeiss Icon camera. And I said, I must go and get that.
Was he an officer?
Who?
Your minder.
Oh, yes, yes, he was the torpedo officer, the S-10's torpedo officer, Sam Bennett.
What was he, a lieutenant?
Mm. And so he said, come on, and set off the upper deck. And so we went up outside the SIF office, which, as far as I remember, was just under the bridge. I don't know. I may have got that wrong. It may have been next to the bridge. Couldn't have been because the bridge goes right across. So we must have been just under the bridge, I think. And we had a rail just outside. We hung over that and looked down into what in a merchant ship would be the world deck, what's the deck you salute?
Quarterdeck?
Quarterdeck. The quarterdeck was just below in what would be the well deck of a merchant ship. And we were watching everybody scurrying about. And the captain's gig had been put on chocks. Just down by the rail, and we were already listing, and I remember thinking they were trying to get it off the chocks and over the rail, the crew of the gig, captain's gig, and I kept on thinking they're not going to be able to do it. I was getting so worried. The things that one. It's extraordinary. Anyway, they were all swept over eventually. They climbed back on, but they couldn't get this gig over the rail.
Swept over by what?
Well, the water coming up, because already we were listing quite a lot.
Was it rough?
No, it was all very gentlemanly. It was June.
Broad.
The sun was.
Broad daylight?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was just after breakfast. And it was very, very gentlemanly because the sun was shining, the sea was blue. One shouldn't laugh, should one? And so there we stood, waiting. And I said, well, what are we going to do to Sam? And he said, we wait here until we're told what to do. So I said, okie dokie. So I said, I'm going down to get my camera. He said, no, you're not. And I didn't. So my camera's down at the bottom of the Mediterranean. Anyway, we stood there. Time, I just have no idea how long. Until the tannoy said, abandon ship. And so I started up to try and climb up, because Sam said, come on, we've got to go over the side. And so I tried to climb up the deck, and my feet kept on slipping, so I called him, because he was already up at the top, and I said, wait for me, I've got to take my shoes off. So I took my shoes off. I thought, now I mustn't lose these, and tied them up by the laces and hung them around my neck. And I climbed up then, because one's feet have got more traction than these crepe sole things. And I got up to the top and climbed over and started down, and before I let go of the rail, Sam said, give those shoes to me, I'll take them. So I said, well, look after them. I was panic-stricken that he was going to do something. And he said, oh, don't be silly, I shall throw them away. And he threw them away. And I was furious. I remember it's the first real bit of emotion I felt, seeing my shoes being chucked away. Oh dear, so silly. But I thought, what in heaven's name am I going to do, bare feet? But anyway, we both started down, and I went like the wind down, because having heard how you get sucked into the whirlpools that set up when a ship sinks, I went down like the wind. Suddenly I heard a voice from just above me saying, wait for me, wait for me. And I said, no, I'm not waiting for you. And looked up, and he was hooked up by his shorts onto some sort of minute, it looked like a sort of angle arm sticking out of the bottom of the, you know, this bit of the ship. It was below water. And I said, no, I'm not waiting for you. Threw away my shoes. And so down I went.
When you say down, you mean you were swimming away from the ship?
No, I hadn't got down to the water when he called out, wait, wait. Of course, he hadn't got a, what do you call the thing?
Life belt.
All we had were little, you know, rubber ones, like water wings, really, too tied round. And I'd got mine on, but I hadn't blown it up, I remember. I'd merely stuck it on. Anyway, I dived in and swam as fast as I could away from the ship with this view of not being wanted to be sucked under. And eventually he tore his shorts free of this thing, and he came after me, and he said, why didn't you wait for me? This ridiculous conversation going on. It's incredible. Oh dear. And so we swam over to, we had a fairly large destroyer escort, and two of them had stopped and waited to pick up survivors. And we swam over to the nearest one, and there was a colossal queue, of course, because masses of people. And there was a colossal queue waiting to get on board this. It was an H-class destroyer, which are fairly small, comparatively small. Did I say were? And we sort of trod water for a bit, and Sam said, "Never get on board." It was the Hero, I think. "We're never going to get on board. Let's look round, see if there's another one." We had a look round and saw one in the opposite direction. So he said, "Come on, we'll go over to that." So we started off.
How far away was that?
Oh, I don't know. We could see that there was no one climbing outside, so it wasn't all that far away.
Sounds as though you were a good swimmer.
Yes. Yes, well, I was. When you say good, I was a strong swimmer. And so we headed off in that direction, in the direction of that. And Sam kept on saying to me, because I kept on having to stop and pull my uniform dress up, because of course the one's skirts were slightly longer in those days. Couldn't have been all that long, but it was well below the knee, and I kept on getting mixed up in it, so I'd have to heave my skirt up. And he kept on saying to me, "Take it off, take it off." And I thought, "You threw away my shoes, I'm not going to have you throw away my uniform as well." And so I said, "Nope, not going to take it off." And anyway, I don't know what happened to him. I went ahead, got ahead of him, and I passed this petty officer. He'd still got his shirt on, and you could see he was a petty officer, and he was holding up a chap who hadn't got a life belt on, but the chap he was holding up hadn't got a life belt, and he looked absolutely out. I think his eyes were shut, and I said to the petty officer, "Are you all right? Are you going to be able to manage?" And he said, "Oh, yes, yes, that's fine." And so I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes, yes, I'm fine, I'm fine." So I started off again. And then I heard Sam saying, "Audrey, stop, stop, wait, wait." I stopped and went back. And he said, "You know, these chaps aren't going to make it." So I said, "Okay, well, I'm not using my belt. Wait until I've blown it up." He said, "What do you mean? Do you mean to say you haven't had it blown up?" He was furious with me. Lord. So I blew it up. And he said, "Give it to me. I'll put it on him." So he pretty well snatched it from me. And he said, "Now go off. Go off. Get away." I said, "Are you going to be all right?" Because he hadn't got enough life belt. But of course he was a strong swimmer, so I didn't. And so that's how, which wasn't really all that merited if you think about it, I got my mention in dispatches.
So he got the life belt on the chap who was drowning, and was he saved?
Oh yes, I met him not long ago. the Daily Express, no, the Sunday Express, arranged for me to meet him.
Do you remember his name? Forgotten. Never mind. Probably come back to you later.
I've got it somewhere in my filing system, which is a slight shambles.
Was he a seaman or a petty officer?
No, a seaman. The petty officer was never even mentioned, and he'd taken him right from, because he was a non-swimmer.
Who's a non-swimmer? The seaman.
Seaman. And he'd held him up all the way from the Medway. And, I mean, we had swum to the Hero and back again. And I think that he had just been holding him up because he was the petty officer, I think, was pretty. He'd got a dead weight to hold up. And anyway, when I when I got to the Zulu, it happened to be the Zulu, which is a
tribal class
destroyer, and that was sunk off. No, was it sunk or it was badly hit off Tobruk later on. And anyway, I climbed up, and there was a complete silence, all the people who were lining the rails. And I heard, God, it's a woman! Not a wren, a woman!
As you emerged out of the sea.
And so I climbed up there, scrambling next, you know, they put out. And so someone grabbed my arm and said, come on, come on, come. I said, no, I must see if Sam and these two chaps are all right. And I watched them swimming up by then, because I said Sam helped the petty officer. But he wasn't, my life belt was holding the seaman up by this time. Did very well for himself. He's got lots of children and lots of grandchildren, and a house in Spain.
How were you all treated aboard the Zulu?
Well, I was the only woman, I was the only wren, but by the time everybody was picked up, it was quite full. And I was swept off by the engineer officer down to his cabin, and they found the smallest seaman on board and got a shirt and shorts off him and shoes. And he lent me those. I think he was a petty officer, I think. Officer or something, and he lent me those, and I said, thank you very much, I'll have to let you have them back. And they took my clothes down to the engine room, and they shoved a brandy down me.
What kind of a state were you in?
I didn't think of myself being as in any state.
Perfectly
just
well?
Just being me.
Were you perfectly well?
Oh, yes. No, the trouble was getting ashore. But anyway, the later on the captain came on board in his gig with the navigating officer and the commander, few others who hitched a ride in his gig. And I had to get out of the engineer's cabin, and because the captain was put into that, at least he used it. But when I was taken up to the wardroom, my escort, just whoever took me up, dashed through. I think it was the engineer officer again, Zulu's engineer officer. We swept through the wardroom flat, and suddenly I realized that there were three huge men, completely stalkers. And I stopped absolutely dead. And I then saw it was the captain, the navigator pilot, and the commander. And the captain wrapped himself in a huge towel and said, "My God, not even safe from women in HM Destroyer." And I went out like a scorned cat. Ridiculous things that stick in one's mind. These three huge stalkers chaps who all their mouths practically their chins practically hit their knees. They're seeing me. Because they didn't know they'd picked up, you know. But another ridiculous thing was I was asked up onto the bridge later on when they'd I went up, and our captain S1 was up there with S10 as well, and they did a head count, and they went alongside, pretty well alongside Hero, and they had a head count. And, the Hero said X number of ratings, X number of men, X, and three Wrens. And so Captain Rakeen said, "Who's been smuggling Wrens on board? I've got one."
Where did the extra Wren come from?
Well, someone saw me swimming up to the Hero, and so they couldn't have counted very well, because they said, "Well, we've seen three Wrens coming up on board."
So they counted you on
the
Hero.
They counted me on the Hero.
Even though you'd not got on board.
And so this terrific exchange went on. You know how in the war the signals used to... They used to vie with each other to send ridiculous signals. Anyway, this was one. Who's been...